Welcome to Windows on the World with me, Mark Windows. Special guest today is Vicky Davis of thetechnocratictyranny.com. But first of all, just like to tell you about a few shows we've been doing recently. We do a live stream on YouTube every Wednesday, and it goes out live at 8 p.m. UK time, which I think is about 2 p.m. Central time. And last night we had on John Waters, who, along with Gemma O'Doherty in Ireland, is bringing a landmark case against the Irish government and the draconian policies that have been brought in on the back of COVID-19. Yes, the laws that have been enacted, which take away all of our inalienable rights and put us into the hands of a police state. And we talked to John last week, and we did a great interview Wednesday evening, and it's there on YouTube. Do have a look at that, because it's a bit of an insight into the has been completely taken over and destroyed within about 25 years, probably less than that. But we're going to get on with what we're going to talk about today, and that is the technocratic tyranny. Yes, the fourth industrial revolution, which, according to the World Economic Forum, represents a fundamental change in the way we live, work, and relate to one another. It is a new chapter in human development, enabled by technology advances that are commensurate with those of the first, second, and third industrial revolutions, and which are merging the physical, digital, and biological worlds in ways that create both promise and peril. The speed, breadth, and depth of this revolution is forcing us to rethink how countries should develop, how organizations create value, and even what it means to be human. It is an opportunity. Oh, it's an opportunity to help everyone. Oh, that's all right then, isn't it? Including leaders, policymakers, and people from all income groups and nations. Of course, no one's going to be left behind, according to the United Nations, to harness technologies in order to create an inclusive and human-centered future. There's only one problem with that, in that these people who are behind all this, the World Economic Forum, are advocating the takeover of all governments with artificial intelligence. We're going to get into that today with Vicky Davis. Vicky, are you there?
I certainly am. Hi.
Hi. Great to be with you again. Last time you were on, about a week ago, you didn't get much of a word in edgeways as I was trying to do a bit of explanation as to what we were talking about. And then we got a lot of callers. So today, that's not going to happen. We're going to get you in right from the start. So, yeah, you've been looking at this World Economic Forum strategic intelligence part of their website, and you're a systems analyst. I think you've kind of been in that field most of your life. Is that right?
Since I was about 30. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, yeah,
I stopped doing it as a job, then I started doing it as an internet researcher and activist.
Which is the most important and interesting bit to us today, I think. But your background is obviously going to be useful.
I hope so.
Yes. Yeah, great. So I'm just looking at this World Economic Forum website, the strategic intelligence part of it, and I subscribe to it. It's very, very interesting, because what it seems to be doing is putting across an exercise in real time, which they are describing as future potentials. But those future potentials seem to be enacted in real time as this is rolled out, which is very, very interesting. So in other words, there's a sense of definiteness about the whole thing. In other words, what they say is going to happen, possibly, will happen, definitely. So I find this very fascinating. And it went into all different areas, even areas such as terrorism, which I found incredibly interesting. And it led me on to look at policymakers and even websites which were stating that there was such a thing as an ISIS newsletter. Now this was a complete shock to me, you know. But what they're doing is they're analysing data from these organisations and basically intelligence assets from these organisations. So this whole thing of unstructured governance that I've been talking about for years through programmes like the United Nations Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, seems to have an overall governing system what do you think about this? Is it possible to basically run the whole world through this kind of integrated system?
Yeah, in a very psychopathic way. Sure, because...
Hello. we're reconnecting. Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you hear me say, in a very psychopathic way?
No, I missed that bit, actually, Vicky, but I think that's very, very important because we are dealing with people here who think that the public interest and the common good is their public interest and their common good. And that is very apparent when you look at the kind of thought processes behind what's going on. But yes, just give us your impression of what's going on with this Strategic Intelligence World Economic Forum rollout that's going on.
I think they're trying to give people an idea of how much thought they have given to this whole thing. And you're supposed to be razzle-dazzled. This is a shiny bauble for you to play with, you know, to look at and to see everything that they have thought about. But the problem is that this is all surface level. These are categories of areas to look at under the main category, like the one you just gave, the fourth industrial revolution. And then the inner circle has the main areas to look at. And the outer circle is apparently a menu kind of thing for the whole diagram. And what I found that was interesting, I did a search. I was looking at the circular economy, you know, which the circular economy is the idea that everything is recyclable. I first heard the idea from Buckminster Fuller, the idea of the completely recyclable universe. And what he would say is that we've already mined everything we need. We have done everything we need. Now we just need to recycle everything. Well, that idea, Buckminster Fuller was talking about it in the way of products and natural resources and things like that. But the idea of the circular economy in the fourth industrial revolution is kind of a different thing. It makes the manufacturers of products responsible ultimately for the recycling of that product after it's lived its useful life. And what that does is that it essentially creates corporations to simply lease you whatever it is, lease you a printer, lease you a car, lease you a TV, so that you really own nothing.
That's really the idea of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and they're always pushing this. Like, they have these sort of 30-somethings saying, you know, I don't own anything, and it's great. Well, in actual fact, we have to look at this philosophically as well, I think, because within this system, we can't actually own anything. We have usufruct, which means we have an interest. Even if we own a property, we own a title deed for that property, we don't own the property. That's quite a good thing in a way because we can't take it with us. When we die, it's going to go to someone else. We have a usufructory interest in whatever we have or think we own. Same goes with vehicles. In this country, the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Association actually own the vehicle. The V5 document, which you get when you buy your car, means that the ownership of the car is transferred to them. You become the registered keeper. You are liable for everything that they throw at you with fines, etc., and taxes, but you do no longer own the vehicle. These are quite interesting concepts. They're legal concepts, and they're there for a reason. And there's nothing particularly sinister about them. And if you look at it on the higher level, then it means something. But what we're talking about here is a control and management system being put in place. In other words, that every human action has a reaction. And Agenda 21 is about monitoring all human activity, and basically anything that you throw away, you have to be accountable for. That's why the climate change taxation agenda is very important in this, and this is really what drew my attention to Agenda 21. We were talking about that just before the show, but I think that, yeah, this technocratic system is really a new form of serfdom, a technocratic serfdom. Interestingly, we'll talk about data as well. And Mark Zuckerberg, there's a quote on the video that you sent me. It was a lady talking about basically internet ownership and surveillance and ownership of data. And Zuckerberg makes a statement and he says, the future is private. Now, I think what he means there is the future is in private hands. Basically, we're talking about a whole rollout of agendas here. And with Agenda 21 and 2030, that's absolutely visible with the rise of NGOs, shadow governance, unstructured global governance, and the way it's rolled out. So I think this, to me, looking at it from my point of view, is that it gives these people this unstructured governance that I've been reading about for years, and it puts it in one place, and it refers to everything. It refers to everything, even psychological conditioning of the population, which is why I find it so interesting. So, yes, it is a flashy kind of little model, but when you look at what it's connected to, it seems to be connected to absolutely everything. As a research tool for global governance, I think it's brilliant, personally.
Oh, it is. And what I was going to say is that I looked up, I was on circular economy, and I took one of the terms in the outer ring, and I did a search on that, on those two terms together, circular economy and financial something or other. I forget exactly what the term was, but I found a paper written by the sponsor of that section of the diagram. Let me see. Okay, it's called the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, and the title of this is Money Makes the World Go Round. And underneath it says, and it will help to make the economy circular, and will help make the economy circular as well. So this is one of the papers that actually goes with that diagram on the Strategic Intelligence website.
Yeah, so, it's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see all of the corporate sponsors that helped pay for it. Circularity Capital, RSM, European Bank, CE100, ING, ING, KPMG, ABN AMRO, and there's a whole other list of sponsors for the study, but it's a big report, and I think it probably will explain more about the circular economy. So that is very cool. You know, if that works with every one of the terms on the outer ring within the subject category that you're on, like Fourth Industrial Revolution or circular economy or whichever one, and you can search on the papers that correspond to that, that's really very handy. I mean, it's I think you could spend about 2 years looking at this thing.
Yeah, it's a great for spin-offs and ideas. I mean, that's why I use it, really, because I kind of look at the bigger picture of everything, and this kind of gives you that bigger picture. And then you can go off into all of these things, which I've been researching kind of in an isolated manner for years, and it puts the whole thing together. In other words, to me, this was kind of gratifying to see, because all of the sort of theories and concepts about how things worked were actually put into one place. And in actual fact, it backed up my theories about how things do work, you know, which I suppose that's a kind of generalized way of looking at it. But it is incredibly specific when you get into the different layers of it, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they have everything thought out. They think they have everything thought out. But what was that term you used for? It wasn't dismemberment of government. It was loosening of government or decoupling or something like that.
I usually just refer to it as unstructured, but
Okay.
I can't remember the exact term. It was maybe if you're referring to a conversation earlier on. But yeah, the interesting thing about this as well, you go into the fourth industrial revolution, it says it will dramatically affect the scale and character of conflict. Already, yes. Distinctions between war and peace and between combatants and non-combatants are becoming blurred. Now, that's a fascinating statement, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and it corresponds to what I've seen. They are disintegrating national governments, and they've done it slowly over time, but I've noticed in the past couple weeks they've really picked up in terms of giving information to the public, you know, floating out the ideas to the public in various ways, because it really, to look at the global governing system as they have it planned and the organization of the world as they have it planned, you have to forget anything you knew, anything you thought was true about your own country, and, you know, just make the slate clean and look at it from the point of view of what they're building.
Yeah, sorry,
because
you just
otherwise
out
you'll
for a
never
there, yeah.
Otherwise you'll never see it, because you're thinking within the confines of the United States or the United Kingdom, and that's they are disintegrating those structures.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, this is what I've been seeing for a long time, and of course that was the original premise of this United Nations global governance system, which took them a long time to get going. And of course the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated this system within 6 weeks. I think we've seen more draconian policy than we've ever seen in peacetime and even in wartime. And certainly it's speeded up a lot of the more kind of totalitarian agendas of 2030, Agenda 2030. It speeded them up massively. A lot of this stuff, I didn't think they would even have the front to do when you look at the coronavirus laws that have come in and mm-hmm. what they're using to actually implement it and the sloppy way it's been rolled out. I think that's the interesting thing about this as well, is that with this coronavirus pandemic, it's clearly a theatre show, because none of it actually adds up. That if it was a real pandemic, then we would see kind of a uniform strategy. But we're just seeing these crazy things like for instance, the local supermarket here. I mean, no one's been wearing a mask or anything like that. And now we really are past the peak of the deaths, according to the real statistics in this country anyway. Mm-hmm. And you're now getting an announcement from Aldi stores that the staff are now going to be wearing masks. It's kind of completely insane, the whole thing. And I think it's because the sense of unreality about it cannot go unnoticed now. And I find that with a lot of the things that are rolled out, especially when we get into things like terrorism, how that changed. I think we covered that last week. But this strategic intelligence actually goes into that as well. Maybe we can get onto that later. But it took me into basically think tanks and institutions, which led into things like the ISIS newsletter, which was, it sounds absolutely absurd, this stuff, but this is the sense of unreality about it. That's great. Yeah. We're going to be back after the break with Vicky Davis of the technocratictyranny.com and Mark Windows. Do call in. It's 800-313-9443.
Homo. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World with me, Mark Windows. I'm talking to Vicky Davis of thetechnocratictyranny.com. And we're talking about the Fourth Industrial Revolution and also the World Economic Forum website, which has a section called Strategic Intelligence, which covers everything, really, including the COVID-19 pandemic. You can look that up on there as well. But it links into a lot of things that we've been looking at over the years as to how governance really is working. But it says on here, the Fourth Industrial Revolution will dramatically affect the scale and character of conflict. Already, distinctions between war and peace and between combatants and non-combatants are becoming blurred. Meanwhile, new technologies are making the battlefield both local and global. So it's all global to local. But what I find really fascinating about this is that they're now saying modern conflict is increasingly hybrid in nature, combining traditional battlefield techniques with elements previously associated with armed non-state actors. The internet is becoming as much a theatre of engagement as land, sea and air. It is inevitable that future conflict will include an online dimension as combatants disrupt, confuse and destroy communications and decision-making capabilities. Well, all this is very fascinating. And when we start looking at how things are rolled out, we have to wonder who's actually directing things, which I think is the most fascinating aspect of all this now. Are you still there, Vicky?
Yes, I am.
And that's all right. I thought I'd lost you. I have a bit of a dodgy connection this end, so little bits are dropping out. But yes, we're just carrying on with this. And this is a fascinating area that they're talking about now with this idea of modern warfare. Have you looked into this at all?
Well, yeah. And the internet has been a battle space since I started working on it. I just didn't recognize the fact that, I mean, I recognized that there were trolls and disinfo people. And at one point, I got into a group that was being run by a group of psychiatrists and psychologists, and I'm sure they were running an experiment. But it's been a battlefield since I've been on it. Since I've been on it as an activist. I mean, I first got on the internet back in about 1995. I mean, we bought our first software program in 92. It was Prodigy, but all it was like an online Sears catalog, you know, with just things to buy. There wasn't much else on the internet. But then, you know, gradually more things started to be put out there. But I would say from the year 2000 onward, the internet became a battlefield. Psychological warfare.
Yeah, that's interesting you mention that, because we have an organization in the UK which is run out of the Ministry of Defence and the British Army, and it's called 77 Brigade, and they engage on Facebook and Twitter. They could try and control the narrative on Facebook and Twitter, and they have this psychological operations unit which they work from, and it's based in Reading in Berkshire. It's not a secret. Even The Guardian, the UK mouthpiece of the deep state, actually did an article on it. And there was 1,500 military and civilians working to disrupt online communication through Facebook and Twitter. And it was very interesting, actually, because even an army publication had a remarkable kind of admission from this sergeant major or whoever he was in the British Army. And he said, so is this a psychological operation against the British public? And he said, well, no, and yes, which is a typical MOD answer. And I just thought it was hilarious, you know, but only the Ministry of Defence in the UK could actually make public that they are engaged in psychological warfare with the British public, you know. I mean, it's kind of comedic, the whole thing. And I did a load of research into it, and you can actually see it on YouTube. It's called Facebook's UK Army Trolls, and it features all the information about this group, which are called the 77 Brigade, named after the Chindits, which was led by Ord Wingate, General Ord Wingate. And he was basically famous for the precautionary principle, which means that before they can become terrorists, it's better to kill them. And he became very popular. This became very popular in Palestine in 1948, and he became a sort of devout Zionist. And so this is named after him. So I don't know whether it was our sort of connections with Israeli intelligence that kind of nudged them to calling it this. But the whole thing is kind of comedic, but it's also sinister, because I have actually engaged on Facebook. Occasionally I go into these groups and I just test it out to see if they're 77 Brigade. And I put you get these sort of obvious kind of people who are really trying to provoke people, or they're using the kind of three-pronged attack, which is, I suppose you voted Brexit, I suppose you vote Trump's policies, but you support Trump's policies, and I suppose you think Elvis lives on the far side of the moon. And they kind of do this, and it's like this kind of it's a mantra that they repeat. So once you see this kind of thing, and it's usually an ad hominem and logical fallacies mixed together, well, you kind of think, well, it could be them, you know. And it's fascinating. Well, that went very, very quickly. We'll be back after the break, and with Vicky Davis, and we're talking about strategic intelligence, monitoring the internet, and the new systems of global interaction and warfare. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after the break. Call us, it's 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows with special guest Vicky Davis of thetechnocratictyranny.com. In this section, I'd like to talk a bit about Vicky's website, The Technocratic Tyranny. So, Vicky, can you tell us when you set the website up and what we can expect to find there?
Well, I set up this website in about 2015 or 2016, I think. And I have another website, an older website, but the technology that I used for the older website was obsolete, and so I had to move to a new platform. So to try and bring a lot of my research together in a coherent way, because my early research was just, you know, I'd write an article on this subject and then an article on this subject, and the connections were logical to me, you know, based on my research, but to people who were not following along with my trail that I was following, it kind of seems kind of random. It really isn't, but if you don't know what I was doing or how I was doing it, then it does seem random. So
it didn't to me. I thought it was actually very well put together, only because I'm studying the same thing. And what I liked about your website was the simplicity. You lay each section of it out, a little bit like this strategic intelligence in a way, because you go there and you go, oh, behavioral science, I'll look that up. But on yours, obviously, it's all about the different aspects of Agenda 21 and this technocracy, which the technocracy movement came out in the sort of, it was sort of peaked in the early 30s, really, but it carried on. In fact, Technocracy Inc. is still there. But one of the best people who looks into this also is Patrick Wood. Technocracy Now, I think Technocracy News, I think, is Patrick Wood. Yeah, it's very, very good. But I liked your website because it, as an introduction to anybody who doesn't know anything about it, it's actually very clear. So I'd recommend people go there for an introduction to this material. But yeah, just tell us a bit about what's on there, Vicky.
Well, when they started with this whole technocratic tyranny, I put the year at around 1990 is when they were started the last leg of going towards global governance. The target was the year 2000. And so that's when the G7 started with all of their plans for the global governing system. And so the areas that I've researched are essentially segments of the planning for global systems. Like, for example, global transportation. I started and realized at some point that it's really a global transportation network. Now, when China announced their Belt and Road Initiative, what they were doing, they were describing what was being done, but it didn't start in 2013. I put the date at sometime in the early 90s when Mexico decided to privatize their ports and China financed those ports. And then as part of the NAFTA superhighway, there are about five or six inland ports coming up from southern Mexico and going up into the United States to the Kansas City Smart Port. And then from there, you know, branching out throughout our entire country. And it was in 1995 when Vicente Fox announced his economic development plan was the building of that corridor in the inland ports. So with China financing those ports in southern Mexico, I consider that China's Belt and Road Project started in North America in about 1993, something like that.
Yeah, so that's about the same time as I thought it already kicked in, about 1990. Mm-hmm. And of course, after Rio, it kind of accelerated with the Agenda 21 stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, if people want to find out what the economic sectors are, what the sectors are for global governance, you can go to the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation Organization website and look at their meeting documents. And if you read those documents and follow them through, you'll see everything. You'll see human resource development. You'll see transportation, energy. I don't know if global health is there, but environment is there. And the one thing I want to say about Agenda 21 is that most people consider it to be an environmental agenda. Well, it really isn't. It is a technology agenda. It's the economy, technology, and then the environment. Those three things.
Yes, so, I mean, we bring that up in our talks, actually, because Otmar Edenhofer, I think he was head of the program at one point, and he said that this is not an environmental program. It has almost nothing to do with environmentalism anymore. And the whole point of it was about development in this new technocratic way. It's about control and management of all resources, all people and all property on the planet. Very simply, yes. That's all it is. It's a control and management system of everything. But every human action has a reaction. This is what they're saying. So it goes back to the idea of technocracy, where it's all about energy management. So even thought and belief is put into this picture. So everything is thought of. It's a governance system for humanity to turn them basically into serfs under the deception of being environmental. So all this stuff of like recycling, 20-mile-per-hour speed zones, getting rid of cars, putting road humps in, it all came out of that to get people ready to accept that they would be trapped in smart cities to save the planet.
Yeah, that was always the plan. Supposedly to save the planet, but really it's just to get a hold of management of the people on the planet. That's the whole idea behind humanity.
Yeah, well, there's always two reasons. There's the real and the stated goals, and that's the important thing. So the real goals are not the stated goals, but they are in the public interest. So the public interest is that the public believe that this is an environmental program. This is about belief. It doesn't really matter if they know about what it's really about. It's not, they're not meant to know what it's about. It's about management of people. So in other words, it's a custodial kind of assumption that's been made by, in effect, billionaires and bankers. That's really where it came from.
Yes, and if people think of themselves as an animal in a zoo, they are the zookeepers and you're the animal, you know, so they will make all the decisions. Everything will be planned out, you know, for your children or your grandchildren, when it, born or not, when they're born, their whole life will be planned out ahead of them. So...
That's
really so
right.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
It's so horrendous. I guess that's what's really driven me all these years to do this, is because the vision of the future is so nightmarish. I couldn't not do this. Could not do it, you know.
That's right. And it's interesting, actually, because this goes back a long way. And there was a Dr. Richard Day in 1969 who was involved with Planned Parenthood, but he made this kind of speech to his students at Mount Sinai University. And he was a pediatrician, and he made this speech about how things were going to turn out. And it's very, very similar to Agenda 21. He didn't actually mention the environmental part, but then again, as we said, the environmental part is not important. That's just for the common good, for the public to feel good about being carbon taxed and locked in smart cities. What he actually said was, some of you will think I'm talking about communism. Well, what I'm talking about is much bigger than communism. So basically what he was talking about was police state totalitarianism, the real and the stated goals, which I just mentioned. In other words, everything has to be done with a perceived benefit. Population control and reduction, controlling and rewriting history, long time spent in education, but nothing of value learned, and we can see the results of that. More control, but more lawlessness. Churches and religions will help degenerate society into this new paradigm. Promotion of sex and violence, it goes on and on and on. But what's interesting about it is that it pretty much fits Agenda 21. That was in 1969. But yeah, we're talking about something that is not actually overwhelmingly complicated, but because it's mind-blowingly huge, the public can't quite get their heads around it because they're thinking of national governance. And this is the problem, isn't it, Vicky?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you limit your thinking to the borders of the United States, you're missing the whole big picture, because the global governing system, it exists outside of the United States, and they are intentionally disintegrating our government. So everybody is saying, why is the government doing this? Why are they doing that? Why don't they do something about what's going on? Well, they're being weakened. They've during the Reagan administration, when they went through all that privatization, they were basically shedding government functions to private corporations. And then Clinton came into office, and they were the ones that started building this whole technocratic tyranny. And so they have been cannibalizing the government ever since. And we've gone through stages, you know, where the government employees were stealing massive amounts of money because somebody had the bright idea to give the government buyers credit cards. Well, gee, how'd that work out? They were buying things for their own homes, for the kids, for everything, you know. So,
well, that's the idea. That was the idea. I mean, a debt-based economy is very important for Agenda 2030 to work, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, mm-hmm. because basically what we're talking about is something that was implemented with the complicity of the banking system, and it was really an elite program. It's been described as an elite program by one of the people who was actually one of the bankers who was there at the initial meetings in Colorado, in Denver. And he said that we need to sell this in some kind of simplistic way for the public. And of course, that's sustainable development. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? He said we need some kind of way of making the cannon fodder go for this. That was pretty much paraphrasing what he said. And I used that recording, which you can see on a YouTube video called The Elite Plan Well Ahead by George Hunt, who was a businessman who was actually at those conferences in 92. And he was trying to wake people up to this until he died in 2013. And now we've got COVID-19 and it's accelerated it. It's, as they say, on steroids.
Yeah. So I don't know why it is, but people don't seem to. You can tell them what's happening and you can show them some documents, but they don't seem to integrate it into their thinking until something comes along in their life that actually gives them a smack in the face. And then they say, oh, I didn't see that. You know, so that's the way it works.
You know, ties into their behavioral science model on here. He says the behavioral sciences or a powerful tool that can be wielded to engender responsible decision-making and improve the quality of life, whether by helping people improve their eating habits or boost their retirement savings, helping a company engender better team spirit, which means communitarianism, which means, you know, the common good, which means you are in the accepted corridor of public opinion. Otherwise, you're a Nazi, a fascist, or whatever else we want to call you.
Or helping governments.
Oh yeah, got them too. Yeah, or helping governments encourage the payment of taxes. the payment of taxes. The behavioral sciences have a significant role to play in smoothing society's path amid the dramatic changes accompanying the fourth industrial revolution. Now, the behavioral science toolkit has expanded significantly. It includes social incentives like nudges or subtle changes in the environment that gently push people to make better decisions while retaining their freedom of choice. It couldn't be a pandemic, could it? That wouldn't be on the cards, would it? You know, it's incredible, isn't it? It's kind of comedic in a way, but it's a mixture of sinister and really comedic, I think, you know?
It is. I mean, it's just so, it's so evil. It's totally evil what they're doing to people with
it
this
is.
Psychological
it is.
Manipulation that kind of thinly undercover, but if people are walking around in a fog thinking that this is the United States and we're just in a little bit of a rough patch right now, they don't see it because they're not expecting it. So it's just, oh, I don't know. These are interesting times that we're living in. And that was a curse, you know?
Well, yes, but in a way, I'm kind of fascinated by it because I've been studying this for such a long time. So none of it's really a shock to me. The only kind of thing that shocked me was the very rapid implementation of the agendas through this pandemic in a way which kind of surprised me only because of the lack of public reaction to it. and the actual general compliance level of the public. I'm talking about the UK here. The compliance level of the public in the UK has been frightening. It's almost as if Brave New World had actually just happened and we were in it. We're in a mixture of Brave New World and Logan's Run at the moment, if anyone remembers that. But that seems to be the kind of attitude that's pervasive when we see these nurses doing these dance routines in the hospitals, because the hospitals are empty. So they're doing these vacuous reenactments of things like Titanic on these hospital trolleys and wheeling themselves about and doing these quite complicated choreographed videos and putting them out. And everyone's cheering them and they're going outside their houses to clap and bang pans at 8:30 in the evening, apparently. And this is actually very, very shocking, the level of brainwashing. We'll be back just after the break. This is Windows on the World with special guest Vicky Davis.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. The last 5 minutes of the show, I'm with Vicky Davis of thetechnocratictyranny.com. I just want to read this out to you, Vicky, so you might have you might be horrified and kind of amused at the same time, which is, I think, what we were talking about before the break. In other words, this Agenda 21 program and what's happening is, to me, a mixture of kind of incompetence as well as kind of sinister governance, you know. But it says here, behavioral science can also help increase civic participation by motivating people to volunteer to donate, to sign petitions, participate in rallies, interact with their government representatives and vote. Leveraging people's sense of identity can increase voter turnout. And then it goes on how they basically use psychological nudging and subversion to make people vote a certain way. I mean, this is incredible, isn't it? What do you think about that? Leveraging people's sense of identity.
That's why we have so many nonprofits. That's what they do. The whole give back to your community, volunteer your time, give your money. Everything, every one of those organizations has their hand out for money. And really what those nonprofits are, it's a jobs program for the well-to-do, for the children of the well-to-do.
It's also a mentoring program into sustainable development and Agenda 21, because the change agents and the people who get involved in it are all mentored into this. And basically, it's a global action plan implemented at local level for the control and management of all resources. So because it's implemented at local level, that's where these NGOs and these non-profit companies and this community interest companies come in. And I've seen this in so many different levels, but it's an intolerant system. We were already in an intolerant system before COVID-19, but now I think we are in a totalitarian intolerant system. Do you want to finish up, Vicky?
Yeah, well, and I've seen it in action, you know, where people try to shame you for something you're doing. I went to a protest on the lockdown here in Idaho a couple weeks ago, and we did a march, you know, at the Capitol, and then we did a march around.
Oh, I saw that. That was really good. I didn't recognize you there, but I did watch it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, but there were people there who were wearing the masks and giving none of the protesters that I saw. I didn't see any protesters that wore masks. It was just all of the anti-protesters. But, you know, they try to make you feel ashamed of yourself that you're out there protesting, you know, as if we're all going to die or something. Because
well, this is an incredible thing, Vicky. In this country, there's a policeman. It went viral on YouTube, and so it should have done, because there's a fella walking about, and they said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm getting some exercise." He says, "Well, I don't think you're exercising." He said, "You're killing people." It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. You know, he's walking around in the fresh air on his own, killing people. You know, it's just brilliant. But yeah, scary though. Scary if you actually have to be administered against by these people in costumes, because that is the problem. They've been given powers to basically do anything they want now.
Yeah, well, except that there is a letter circulating.
Oh, it looks like we're out of time. We'll have to do another show with Vicky in the next few weeks. I'm Mark Windows. Join me at windowsontheworld.net. Check out the archive. And we're on at RBN Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time. See you all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Vicky Davis and the technocratictyranny.com.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.